Marie and the doctor.
Who knows what may come next?
Having trouble with your thingamajig? Can't get the doovy watsy to interface with the clickety bit? Given up all hope of the digital wingwong working? Yeah, well, we hear your pain, Australia. So now, please welcome the only man in the world who can simultaneously program the set-top who's it, reformat the doovalacky, and upload the whatchamacallit in three different languages. It's Paul Verhoeven in Nerds of a Feather.
Yes, leading you through your weekly dissertation on dorkism. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Well said.
Thanks.
By the way, how was everyone's break?
It's okay. I think I've been hanging out with pigs. I think I've been lying with swine.
Thanks a lot, Lindsay. I enjoy being on a holiday with you too.
You know what? It had nothing to do with the fact that I spent the time with Marie Cardi, but at some stage I may have been exposed to some kind of pig fluenza. We're going to find out.
You're not a hypochondriac at all, are you?
No, that's what's charming about
FLS.
It.
FLS, people.
Anyway, Verhoeven, you're in robust health.
I have a spoiler for you guys.
Good, yeah.
Well, it's kind of a story, a very, very quick one. My dad had a really bad spoiler inflicted upon him. He told my mum, it's a true story, he told my mum when she was pregnant with my youngest brother, Mark, that he didn't want to know the sex of the baby. Mm-hmm. And they were at a dinner party, and he'd been fairly antagonistic all night. And after a few wines, she looks at him and goes, "It's a boy!"
Ultimate spoiler.
That is the that's the boiler spoiler.
didn't even say spoiler in the oven. She didn't even say spoiler alert. So, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Now, first up, this something that's been close to our heart over the last couple of weeks, and that is auto-tuning.
Oh, yes. God. Now, because, you guys have been mentioning auto-tuning, because you're going digital, and you've got me thinking about auto-tuning, and if you really want to go to hell, the quickest and easiest way is to watch the auto-tuned R&B version of the Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Speech, I Have a Dream speech.
Oh no.
I have a speech.
I have an auto-tuning rig.
It's terrible. It's very catchy. But basically, the greatest auto-tuning piece, if you haven't seen it, is the Slap Chop remix. Now, this guy, have you guys seen this?
We've used Slap Chop a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, this guy, Vince Offer, who was a crappy comedian back in the 90s, and after some sporadic work as a D-grade celebrity, he did this infomercial called Slap Chop, and they auto-tuned it, and he does this ad demonstration, and someone mixed it in with footage from Breakdance 2 Electric Boogaloo. And the thing is, I wanted to find out what happened to this guy, what auto-tuning does to a person. Mm-hmm. It turns out the fame went to his head, and earlier this year, in March, he was arrested for fighting with a 26-year-old prostitute in Miami who apparently bit onto his tongue and wouldn't let go.
So would I if I'd heard him auto-tune. I wouldn't let him talk either.
Sorry to laugh.
That is how prostitutes shake hands in Miami. So I do have a bit of internet news. Now, the Jackson death is hugely tragic for many reasons. I'm not going to make light of it. But something interesting did happen as a result that I wanted to touch on very quickly. After his death was announced, something odd happened online. So many people Googled Michael Jackson that Google actually crashed because it thought it was being spammed. So
really?
when you went to Google and you typed in anything, it said for like an hour, "We're sorry, but your query looks similar to automated requests from a computer virus or spyware application." And Google spokespeople said in no way were they prepared for the outpouring of searches for Michael Jackson. There's something really nice and kind of poetic about the global news feed, which hounded him for years, choking on itself.
That's awesome.
And I also wonder if at any point people will Google me so much that Google will crash.
Yes, probably.
If you're at home near a computer right now. After go into a search engine.
Don't Google Paul Verhoeven because you'll just find an old Dutch guy. What you got to do is Google Paul Francis Verhoeven because that's my middle name.
And Francis, now you guys, with an E or an I?
As in the saint or the mule.
Was it the boy or the girl?
Whatever's manlier. I have a bit of movie news now. I got an email from a listener with this title as the email heading, and I'd very much like to gauge your reactions. It's subtle, but see if you can spot why this grabbed me. German Jews horrified by Britney Holocaust role.
Wow.
I think I just threw up my mouth a bit. Now, the last film Britney Spears was in was Crossroads, which was hard for me to watch because halfway through my brain did a blowout and I swerved into a lake. Now, in Crossroads, she played herself basically sucking beyond belief. And if I had to think of a worse film, I could probably only think of maybe The Postman with Kevin Costner or The Jonas Brothers Live in 3D, which sounds like a joke, right? But you know it isn't. So what's all the fuss about this movie? Well, the plot calls for Britney to travel back in time to a concentration camp, and the Central Council of Jews in Germany says the idea is reprehensible.
That's not real, is it?
That's true. That's an actual quote. One member of the council said, "I'm not saying Britney's musical catalogue is worse than the Holocaust. I'm just, what am I saying? That one isn't real."
now, hang on a second. Is the premise for this film actually real?
Get this. No, this is true. I checked several papers, yeah, and it's real. It's called The Yellow Star of Sophia and Eaton. Now, the film would see her playing a character called Sophia Lamont, who travels back in time to fall in love with a Jewish concentration camp prisoner called Eaton. That could be worse, right? But it does get worse.
No.
Now, the script concludes with them travelling back to present day in love and happy before being killed by neo-Nazis. I would rather have Michael
Bay... Wait a second. Spoiler alert. They die in the end.
Well, yeah.
Who's ever going to want to watch that
Who
film
cares?
Anyway?
Look, honestly, I would rather have Michael Bay throw up in my mouth for 3 hours than watch this. And I know what that's like because I've seen Transformers 2.
We've got Paul Verhoeven in this morning. He's doing Nerds of a Feather. He's going to come back in a moment and discuss why he's a man for Man Week.
Well, kind of.
And a few other things too. You're on Triple J. Paul Verhoeven is in this morning. Nerds of a Feather is what he's doing, and it is Man Week.
It is Man Week, yeah. I've been thinking that male nerds get a bit of stick for not being masculine enough. And being a nerd, I wanted to assure you guys that we can actually be kind of manlier than most people, so I have a very short story from my nerdiest period to prove this. I was about 14, and I was trying to think of the manliest thing I've done, and it's probably the time I started a fight.
Oh, wow. That is very manly. That's nothing manlier than starting fights.
Well, manly or stupid?
Mm. Well, it was very manly. I was in year 8 at a private boys' school, and I was being bullied quite a bit. And at that time, I was reading a lot of Sherlock Holmes, and I thought the money thing to do would be to shame this dude who was bullying me. Let's call him David. I thought, how can I shame this guy? So we're all crowded around this tree, and David was lounging around like a fat idiot. And he was huge. He was very hairy for his age. He was like a big lion. But I stood firm, and I thought, okay, I need to shame him. So I thought, now's my time to strike. I reached into my backpack, and I pulled out a black leather glove, which belonged to my dad. Can you see where this is going?
Yes.
Now,
did you moonwalk?
Only one glove. I swung it back in a perfect arc and kicked him in the balls. Now, because he thought I was going to duel him or something stupid.
The old switch and kick.
We did actually become friends later when I removed the thorn from his paw. I have some gaming news, and this kind of concerns pretty much anyone who games in Australia. Under the new government proposed internet filter, which is going to be installed at the ISP level, basically it means you won't be able to play any game that isn't suitable for 15-year-olds. Now, because of our rating system, our games above that rating get refused classification because we don't have an R rating, which means pretty much any game with violence you will not be able to buy, but you also won't be able to play it online because the government will install filters, basically stopping these games being played, which is it seems a little excessive.
Why don't you just go and kick people in the balls with a glove?
That's not the solution to everything,
Lindsay.
That's
a good solution. Why don't you kick them in the balls with a glove?
Harkening back to his childhood.
You should go work at the UN. Middle East. All right, I got a glove and a foot. Basically, it means that there is a very serious implication for this. Plagued with the need to exercise their urges to go on adventures and kill things with swords, gamers are going to swamp medieval reenactment societies. And those places only have, like, small photocopying facilities. They can't actually, you know, process that many members. And basically what they're going to do then is they're going to do the next thing and they're going to become Nazis. Disenfranchised gamers becoming Nazis. I wrote that one at 5 a.m, so be gentle. And of course, finally, death news. It's time for my regular segment, Death. It's been a terrible week. So much tragedy. And we lost one man who was very talented, pure and graceful. And I am, of course, referring to Jeff Goldblum.
That's not true.
I know what you're thinking.
I panicked briefly when I heard
that. So did I.
He
didn't
die.
I know. Well, sometime on the morning of the 25th, Twitter exploded with the news of Jackson's death, and people were already talking about Farrah Fawcett. And then someone thought it'd be funny to start claiming that Jeff Goldblum had died, which is preposterous because he can't be killed by conventional weaponry. Everyone knows that. Anyway, it got really big. Richard Wilkins, who's an industrial strength douche pagoda. Do you like that, douche pagoda? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did a small tribute, kind of understandably. He did a small tribute on air that day based on Twitter. Now, at no point did anyone feel the need to verify the story. If I got on Twitter and said, Robbie, you got breast augmentation surgery.
Oh, that'd be true.
No, Did he really?
Yeah, let's say he did.
Wow.
You know, a couple of hours from now, someone's going to report that on the news, apparently. But the rebuttal for this story came from Kevin Spacey. So he got on Twitter, the real Kevin Spacey.
I know, I'm following him as well. So
yeah, he got on and said, Jeff Goldblum is alive and well. I just spoke to his manager. Stop these stupid rumors. Which does raise an important issue. Don't claim famous people have died. Marique, remember that time I claimed Sean Connery had died?
Yes.
And you went and told your mother and made her cry?
Just don't tell me anything.
Hoves. Thank you very much, sir. We'll catch you next Tuesday morning.
Thanks,
Hoves.
See you guys.
See you, mate. Bye. On Triple J.